I'll do that in a second. David Eisenberg, Stargate Highway, Pasha's Devarim.
Okay, that's on.
Okay. Simcha, we all good?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Good morning, Rabbi Sai. Nice to see you all. And I just want to start off by saying that when it comes to halachas of the 9 days, it's very hard to get a grip on it, because when you see Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, and then you want to know what we do nowadays, and things have changed around, and certain needs have changed around, we have to figure out what to do and what not to do. But on the other hand, it's very, very important to note that Chazal told us these things not to do during the 3 weeks, during the 9 days, and the reason for that is because we should try in some small way to be able to feel the avelus for the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore Chazal said, it's hard to feel the avelus for the Beis HaMikdash. It's hard to feel that we've lost something. When you grow up without something, then you don't feel that you're missing it. You just feel that that's normal. Chavos HaVavos speaks about this in Shabbat Chin in more than one place. You think it's normal because that's who you are. And therefore, we try to make certain changes, and certain things, taka, will be uncomfortable. And people will say, ugh, it's uncomfortable, I don't really want to do this, it's not right. Lemais, it's important to take these things into account and important to keep these halachas, because it allows us slowly but surely to get ourselves into the mode of thinking about Tisha B'Av and of thinking about what has happened. Now, there are different times, and as you get closer and closer to Tisha B'Av, you will find that the avelus gets stronger. So you start with Shavuos V'Tammuz and the 3 weeks, then you move to the 9 days, then you move to Shavuos Shechal Boi, then you move to the last 3 days before Tisha B'Av, you move to Erev Tisha B'Av, from Erev Tisha B'Av you move to Tisha B'Av itself, and then you get to Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. There'll be different kufas within this avelus that will have different halachas. And as you get closer and closer, the avelus is felt stronger and stronger. So let's start with the following halacha. This is an interesting halacha just because it's Nagia this week. So you find in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tav Kuf Nun Aleph, Sif Dalet, he speaks about Shavuot Shechal B'Tisha B'Av. And he says, what happens if you have Shavuot Shechal B'Tisha B'Av, but Tisha B'Av comes out either on Shabbos or Tisha B'Av comes out on Sunday? So there the Shulchan Aruch writes, and this will be Nagia to certain halachas. Certain halachas are Nagia only Shavuot Shechal B'Av. They only get to the week that Tisha B'Av falls out in. So this week, where Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, and we're going to fast on Sunday, there's a shayla lahalacha, is this considered Shavua Shechal B'Tisha B'Av, or is it not considered Shavua Shechal B'Tisha B'Av? And the nafka mina over there will be, if it's Shavua Shechal B'Tisha B'Av, then for example, for the Sfardim, it will be also l'sapra l'chabes. It'll be also to wash clothes, and it'll be also for them to get haircuts. Whereas if it's not Shavua Shechal B'Tisha B'Av, then even all the way through to Shabbos, you'll be mutter to wash clothing, you'll be mutter to have haircuts. For Ashkenazim, doesn't make a difference anyway, because we hold of it from Rosh Chodesh. But for the Sfarim hold only Shavua Shechal B'Av, so the question that you have is, what will be the halacha be? So he brings over here in Shulchan Aruch, he brings two shittas. He says, after the Tanis Yemutal Saba Chamas Miyad, which we don't hold of anyway, because when it comes to Siman Tovkuf Nun Ches, later on we'll see that we're Machmer till Sunday, and I'm sorry, not sorry, till Sunday. We're Machmer till the day after Tisha B'Av till Chatzos, till Yud by Chatzos. What will happen this year is a different discussion, we won't get to that today. But Lamaisi says, if Tisha B'Av comes on Yom Rishon or B'Shabbos, V'nitcha Achas Shabbos, Mutter B'Shtei HaShabbos, so you're allowed in both Shabbos, because there's no such thing as Shavua Shechal B'Av. And then he says, V'yesh Mishayim Eshenagu Lesser Kol Shavua Shelefono Chutz Mim Chamish Rishishi. And some are Machmer. Now we know the rule in Shulchan Aruch in general is that where you have a Shitta that's brought in the beginning, Bistam, and then only afterwards he says, Yesh Mishoimer, the Shulchan Aruch is meaning to paskin like that Stam opinion and not like the Yesh Mishoimer. So it's mashma from the Shulchan Aruch that there is no Shavuot Shechal B'Av this week. Certainly, by the way, if Tisha B'Av comes out on a Sunday, Because Tisha B'Av didn't come out on Shabbos and we push it off to Sunday. If Tisha B'Av is properly on a Sunday, this year it's Yud B'Av that's on Sunday, but we push it off. If Tisha B'Av is properly on a Sunday, certainly the halacha will be that there's no Shavuot Shechal by says Mishabura. There everybody agrees. But the Shaila is where Tisha B'Av comes on Shabbos, so Shulchan Aruch is Mekel, and Ramah obviously says, And the Ramah says, we have Gresser Chumas. So we start, Legabe as far as Kibbutz is concerned, from a Shchodesh. So it's not Negev, yes, Shavu Shechabai, not Shavu Shechabai. Haircuts, we go all the way back to Shavu Shechabai. So both of those are not really so Negev, so because they're not so Negev, so therefore he doesn't go into it. But the Maitza would come out that, at least for Svadim, this week, is a lot more chumadik. A lot of the things I'm going to say now, the psakim are for Ashkenazim. The psakim for Sfardim, as I said, are different. So for Sfardim, they should ask their own shailas. And the psakim, a lot of what I'm going to speak about today, is going to be based on the final psakim in the Sefer of Simcha Bonin Kohen, the laws of the 3 weeks. There are other Sfarim, they might have different chumras and different kulas, so I don't really want to say that, you know, this Sefer is the definitive psak, but that's the psakim that I'm dealing with. So I'm going to discuss a few halachas, let's see how much of this we get through, and we'll see if we have, if I prepared enough, I have to go weiter. Okay, number one, let's start with meat and wine. Meat and wine, we don't eat meat and wine during the 9 days, right? Why not? So there are two reasons. Either eating meat and wine to bring simcha in itself indulgent, and therefore you shouldn't be indulging in these kind of things during the 9 days. Or, alternatively, the Gemara in Bava Basra, Naf Samach on the base, where he speaks about Zeich of the Chorban, etc., etc., the Gemara there says that Chazal, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there were people that didn't want to eat meat and they didn't want to drink wine. He said, well, we should eat meat. They brought it on the Mizbeach. We should drink wine, which they brought on the Mizbeach. So they got through that, this whole conversation. Finally, they got to the point, as far as I remember, they got says, let's not drink water. Because they're Nisach HaMayim. Yes, a fruit. Because like, at one point or another, we say, it's a becomes impossible. Well, we're not going to eat fruit. You're not going to drink water, it's impossible. So therefore, Lamaisa, we said, because it's a Darush and a Tziba Yachal Amabai, we are not Machmer. However, it would seem that it's Be'etzim correct not to do this, just because it's Darush and a Tziba Yachal Amabai that we didn't make this Gzera. And therefore, for the 9 days between Rosh Chodesh and Tisha B'Av, it's not so long. You know, I remember, okay, I'm skipping ahead of myself a little bit, but I remember this ma'aser right now, so I just want to tell the story. I remember when we were in yeshiva, so a friend of mine was making a siyum, or he wanted to make a siyum in the 9 days. And they weren't sure, you're allowed to eat fleishiks, you're not allowed to eat fleishiks. And we went to ask Rav Neuwitz Atzal, who was the posek by us in yeshiva Kol Torah. He was the Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Kol Torah, so he was the posek over there. And he used to come down by us, and we went downstairs to ask him, my friend and I, and I still remember this very, very vividly, where I was standing, because some of these stories you always remember exactly how they happened. So we came down, and my friend says to him, you know, Harav, Ratzinu Shal Shelah, he says, yeah, Makasha. He says, you know, Chaver Shiri, you start off, Machaver Shiri, Ratzel Asat Siyum. And the Rav Neuwitzin looked at us, he goes, Habetin tzarich basa, ze lo simcha. You know, he was getting all upset with us. He says, what, you want, maybe I got some leftover wine from Abdullah, you can come and pick up my wine. Maybe you also want to have a haircut, look over the simcha. You just go for it, have your meat. All upset with us. So we ended up making the siyum with pizza. We didn't make the siyum, we ended up having a pizza. I know there are other people that take a different position on it. I remember when I was in camp, in America, we were in Camp Aguda. Every night in the 9 days, you used to have somebody making a siyum. Sometimes multiple siyum, and people made a siyum on a Seder Mishnayis, on a whole Masechta Gemara. Multiple siyum used to have. And I think they used to do that, and then they stopped doing it. As far as I remember, in my days, they still did it. Until 1994, I know they did it. I think after that, they stopped doing it. It's been 30 years since I've been to this camp, so I can't say. But I think they stopped, because people felt it wasn't right. Okay? But in one way or another, this thing gets abused. I mean, I know in America, there are restaurants that pay people to make a siyum. Malaysian restaurants that pay people to make a siyum, and they come and they make a siyum, mechbeis, wherever it might be. That we'll see soon, that doesn't work anyway. Okay? That doesn't work. But lamaisa, so there is this tzad. Some people say that you have to just calm down. Okay? You know what? For 9 days, I'm not going to eat meat, and I'm not going to eat chicken. Guess what? Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen to us. We're not going to wither. We're not going to fold. Now we even have two Shabbos between now and Tisha B'Av. So in 9 days, Be'etzim, it's going to be only 7 days that you don't eat. Not even seven, it's only 6 days. You have Friday, and then you have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Okay, 7 days you can't eat meat. 7 days, Nachako, you can't eat meat. Okay, calm down. And you have a Shabbos in between. It's not so bad. So you have to realize that, you know, that's getting into the mindset. I think it's important to get into the mindset that what do we taka need and what don't we need? And it's the same with showers. Again, I'm not going to speak about this by Rikus. I didn't want to go into bathing and showers so much. But I remember seeing in a lot of different times that different ways that people take it. When I was in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael in the year 2000, there was a heat wave. You know, like when you say there's a heat wave here, so it lasts for 2 days. But when there's a heat wave in Eretz Yisrael, you know there's a proper heat wave. You know, that's a heat wave and it took a long time. And I remember it was the 9 days, and we're sitting in the Beis Medrash, and suddenly I turn to my friend and I say, there's this weird smell. The entire Beis Medrash smells of artificial strawberries. You know, like this chewing gum smell of strawberries. And the whole... Anyway, the administrator had walked into the Beis Medrash, and he says, this place stinks like a barnyard, because there's a whole bunch of Israelis in a chamsin that all didn't take showers the entire 9 days, and it smelled so bad, and nobody was wearing deodorant, that he took some kind of air freshener and sprayed it into the vents of the air conditioning, and it just like, it went out into the whole room, and you're sitting there going like, I feel like in a big piece of bubble gum. It's disgusting. It was very weird, right? But people felt like, you know, the right thing to do is no matter how hot it gets, it's not to take a shower. Because now that might be one extreme. Other people say, I take a shower every day, so now I take a shorter shower every day and slightly colder. Okay, so then you're not really, and you're saying, I'm an Istinus. Or, you know, I'm very verschwitzt. It's not so terrible. If you didn't take a shower every single day, nothing will end up happening. And you have to take a bit of a view on this. But where are you starting to feel uncomfortable? She said, well, I'm feeling uncomfortable. Exactly. That's what we want. There's a certain discomfort that we're hoping for over here, because that discomfort might wake you up to the fact that we don't have a Beis Hamikdash. Not like, oh, I haven't had a shower in like 24 hours. I feel all uncomfortable. I need a shower. And like, no. Feel that. Try to harness that koyach and try to say, you know, the Rebbeinu, I have not had a shower. The Rebbeinu has not had a Beis Hamikdash for 2,000 years. What's the bigger deal? Try to use that a little bit. Now, again, where there's an inyan of kavod abrias, where you sit down in a Beis Hamikdash and the rest of Beis Hamikdash sort of spreads out because you've just sat down over there. So then there might be an inyan, I think, for you to go and consider having a shower. But when we're not holding there, so you're slightly discomfort, you know, uncomfortable, there's slight discomfort, you have to think about that also. And this is what he's saying over here. It's that when it comes to not eating meat and not drinking wine, but etzem, we should have been goyz for the entire year. We can't manage that. But for 9 days, take it easy. Okay? So now, when it starts, we don't have to discuss so much, it starts either at Shkia or it starts when you start early Maariv on Erev or Shchodesh, but more importantly, when it ends. So normally, in a normal year, it ends after Chatzos on the 10th of Av, this year where the Tainus is on the 10th of Av, so then the halacha is you cannot eat meat or drink wine at night, unless you have to make Havdalah. We'll speak about it. We won't have chances to speak about Havdalah. But if you have to make Havdalah on Matzah Tisha B'Av before you're allowed to eat. Okay? So what's going to happen is you, on Matzah Shabbos, you're going to make the bracha B'Emar Ha'ish. Okay? You have to make that bracha, and you should make it for your wife as well. If you have a wife at home, or if you have daughters home, you should make it for them. And not just be yoitz of the bracha in shul, because it's a shaila whether your wife or whether your daughters can make that bracha. So make it at home for them, before you go out, or after you come back. Excuse me. Then, someone we're not going to do, and motzei Tisha B'Av, you should make a bracha, hagafen, and hamavdim and kosh l'choil before you go and you eat anything else. So that wine you'll be allowed to eat. Again, there'll be discussion who should drink the wine, whether you should give it to a child, you should drink it yourself. Chances are that all the children that you'd want to have the wine, or that are within the getter that are allowed to drink the wine, are anyway asleep already. So you have a minimum amount of wine, whatever you have, and finished. Okay? But then, you need to wait till the next day to be able to have meat and to be able to have wine. So on Yud Aleph in the morning, you're already allowed to have. Whereas in a regular year, you'd have to wait till Chatzos of Yud. Okay?
Why did you just meet some wine for the next day? Everything else could be by night.
Not everything else. Certain things, yes. Certain things, no. So I don't remember. I haven't written it down exactly what you can do, what you cannot do. Pardon?
By night.
Music, you shouldn't do at night. Music, you got to wait till the next day. But I think laundering, as far as I remember, laundering clothes, you'd be allowed to do at night already. Pardon? Especially now, what's going on? I know it, the terrible thing about Tisha B'Av is, or it's not so much a terrible thing about Tisha B'Av, but the terrible shame within Tisha B'Av is that 2 days after Tisha B'Av or 3 days after Tisha B'Av, everybody's going on holiday. And in the middle of Tisha B'Av, all you're thinking about is Wales or Scotland or family camp or wherever you're going. Yeah? Nobody's really thinking Tisha B'Av. You're too busy thinking like, where am I going to go and how am I going to get all my clothes together and how I'm going to manage to buy everything. Tisha B'Av is like out the window because your head is somewhere totally different, which is a real shame. Halavai, you know, if Bein HaZmanim didn't come right after Tisha B'Av, would actually be a very a big trailer. So that's what Bein HaZmanim is, so you can't stop it, you can't help it. But the truth is, you know, people, the whole Tisha B'Av thinking to themselves, when's it over, when's it over? I have so much stuff. Especially if you have a family, Baruch Hashem, with lots of children. If you've got a family of 10 children and the mother has to now do all that laundry between Sunday night and between Tuesday when they're going away, you're in trouble. You know, that machine is going to be running 24/7 and you're going to be, who knows how you're going to get that clothes done. Sometimes people take dirty clothes and wash it on holiday. I don't know, or they only wash a minimum. Who knows? So Matzah Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to wash your clothing. You're not allowed to eat meat and drink wine. You're not allowed to play music. I don't remember all the other things. I don't remember now. I know it's different to the rest of the year, so we're just going to, you know, we'll go with that for now. Okay? Now, under three, any child under three is mutter to have meat. Wine, I don't recommend for under threes anyway. And from the age of chinuch, it's aser. Between that is the shayla, between three and about, age of chinuch is about 6 or 7. The Ma'is Mishpo says you should be machmer, so we don't do that. Now, we include within the Isser of meat, it includes meat and chicken. It's not only a shayla of bosa boko, or maybe bosa tsoi, but we're talking about really even chicken or turkey will be osir. And if you cooked something with meat, so let's say I have leftover cholent. So lots of people have leftover cholent. Cholent is one of those things that are, you know, that are left over. You know, they used to make a joke. What's the difference between a bocher and between a younger man? My bach eats cholent Thursday night, Friday, Shabbos, and a younger man eats cholent Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos, and Sunday night. That was a yeah, because he was stuck with all the leftovers. There was a bach sort of doing it on the build up to Shabbos. But so you have leftover cholent. Are you allowed to eat leftover cholent? So there's no more meat left. Your son or your daughter goes into the cholent, schleps out all of the meat, moves it aside. All you're left with is a few beans and a bit of barley. You're allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to eat that. The halacha is the ma'aseh we paskin that you don't eat a tafshil shabasa either. It's a shayla, but the ma'aseh we say we don't eat a tafshil shabasa either. And therefore, if you have the beans and the barley and the potatoes that have taste from the meat inside them, unfortunately, you won't be able to eat it. You're going to have to chuck it out. You won't be able to eat it tonight. If you cook something in a fleshing pot, whether the pot is ben yoimoy or not ben yoimoy, i.e., even if on Shabbos you cooked something with fleshiks in that pot, and within 24 hours of cooking something with the fleshiks in that pot, you cooked something else, you made rice or you made pasta in that pot, the halacha will be you're allowed to eat that rice, you're allowed to eat that pasta, that's only cooked in a fleshik pot, that's mutter. Okay? Wine and grape juice is also to be had, even if it's diluted, and other alcoholic beverages are mutter. Interestingly enough, so you know, it's not a question of getting drunk or not getting drunk, because there are plenty of things you can get drunk on that have no grapes in it whatsoever. You don't have wine. Wine was brought on the Mizbeach, so we don't have wine, we don't have grape juice, and even if you dilute it, you should not have it either, unless you dilute it so far that it's beyond Bari Priyagof, and even that, you know, again, do you need to do that? What happens if you made a mistake? So sometimes people make a mistake and they make a bracha on something like this. Oh, it's the middle of the 9 days. What do you do? So there are halachas about this, about different things. So for example, if you made a bracha on something treif, so it'll have to be a bracha levatola. You made a shakal and you thought it was kosher, and that came off the list. It's treif now. Okay, chuck. Baruch Shem Yimei Malchusel Elavad. Chuck the item. Can't eat it. Okay? If you have something, if you ate, right, so the shayas, if you ate fleishiks, what happens if you want to have milchiks, you made a bracha on it, there are all sorts of shayas like that. So you made a bracha now, shehakol, on meat, and you realize, now, hey, it's the 9 days, I can't eat it. So, lehalacha, you're allowed to have a tiny bit of that meat, just so the bracha shouldn't be levatola, because again, the minhag is not to eat meat. The halacha, if you look it up, as far medina de gemara, if you look in the Mishnah says in the Sudah hamafsekes, you shouldn't eat meat. That's really the din of the Gemara as far as we're concerned. We, as we said, we started to extend these halachas further so that people should be able to feel the avelus of the 9 days. So we moved it back all the way back to the 9 days. But mi'ikr adin, that's not the halacha, it's only a minhag. Therefore, if it's a shayla of a bracha lematola versus a minhag, we'll say you made shahakal, have a tiny bit of that meat, and then put it aside, show me a bracha lematola, and that's it, you can't have any more than meat. But literally a tiny drop. Oh, so it's interesting. I didn't see that brought over here, but I think you're right. So the shayla would be in finding another food, so that would be the question. Is the food in front of you? Because there could be a shayla over there with brachas also. You have to know in which instance, you know. So let's say you have drink in front of you and you have meat in front of you, and you made a shahakal on the meat, but you're also planning on having some of that water, coke, juice, cordial, whatever is on the table. So then, yes, it would be better probably to take some of that cordial and just drink some of it because you're planning to have it anyway, so why have the meat? But if you're going to have to go running around the house to look for something else that's shahakol, then it might be better just to eat the meat. Lehalacha, as far as I remember, anything that's inside your house and readily available is included in the bracha of shahakol. So that's stama shayla in brachas. You made shahakol and you had something sitting in front of you, you have a coke, and you make shahakol and you finish your can of coke. And suddenly you say to yourself, you know what? Fancy another can. So in your larder or in your fridge, you have more cans of coke. So then the halacha is, because it's in your house and it's your food and you knew that it existed, you could take out that can from the fridge and don't need to make a second shahakol by taking another can out of the fridge. You can keep going with that. If you have to go to a shop, certainly you'd have to make a new bracha on it because it wasn't here when you made the bracha. So if you had planned on, so certainly either if you had planned on eating other things and it's not in front of you, or you'd not planned on eating it but it's sitting right in front of you, right? Either which way, the bracha of shahakol will still cover that. So if you have other things, I think it would be better to move on to something else. In hagofen, you don't have that. That's not going to help you. In hagofen, you're going to have to drink it. In basar, because you made shahakol, and shahakol is such an overarching bracha, you might have something else at the table you're considering having anyway, so maybe have that. Enochanami. Okay. If a person is sick and they need to have meat, so they should ask a shayla. Different illnesses and different people will have different things. Some can eat all the way up to Zayin and Ches. Some can eat all the way up to Surah Mafsekes. Depends how ill they are. If they're very ill, obviously they can eat whatever they need to. So ask a shayla when it comes. Okay. Now, there are certain instances where you'd be allowed to eat meat and drink wine even during the 9 days. And that's if you have a Sudas Mitzvah. What's classed as a Sudas Mitzvah? A Bris, a Pidyon HaBen, a bar mitzvah, and a seal. Okay, those are the four things. Actually, interesting, the Ramah brings also a sudas erisin, but the mice we said earlier, we shouldn't make a sudas erisin, so we leave that out. It's called bris, pinyon aben, siyam, and bar mitzvah. Okay? Bris, whether it's bismana or not, you can eat. That doesn't, for sure. Pinyon aben, even if it's not bismana, you should obviously do the pinyon aben bismana, even if it's not bismana, you can do it. Bar mitzvah is a shayla, does it need to be boy bayoim or not? Because sometimes people don't make the bar mitzvah suda dafka boy bayoim. It's more convenient to make the bar mitzvah suda on Thursday night than it is to make it on Monday night. So they made it Thursday night so the rest of the family could come, so that they're there here. Because otherwise, if you have family in London and family abroad, so you want to make the suda on Thursday night, and then you have the shamas, and by Sunday everybody can go home. But if you make the suda boy bayoim on Monday night, so then everybody's going to either miss the suda and miss the pshetla, etc., etc., which I think in Corona we learned is not the end of the world, or they'll have to be there for an entire week, which is also difficult. So therefore, sometimes we'll make the suda not by bayoyim. So some say as long as the bar mitzvah bracha says a dvar Torah, says a pshetl, it's still a sudas mitzvah you can eat. Others say you should have a dafka by bayoyim. Lamais, I think people are mekel. Okay, siyum. Pardon? Okay, so we're getting to that. We're coming to that in a minute. Siyum is an interesting one, and as I spoke about it before, siyum really is where somebody is finishing something in their learning during the 9 days. If somebody goes ahead and, let's say somebody does daf ayomi, and there's 10 daf left, and he's got 6 days left in the 9 days. So what's he going to do? Instead of learning daf ayomi, he'll double. I'll learn 2 daf, so I'll finish now on Zayin Av. I can make a siyum, finished early. So there they say it's not so possible. You shouldn't learn faster just to be able to make the seal. Okay? And you shouldn't slow down just to be able to make this seal. If it comes out in the 9 days, it comes out in 9 days. Now, that could happen. Daf HaYomi many times probably finished a Masechta. It happens in the 9 days. But that is a scheduled Daf HaYomi. Nobody scheduled the Daf HaYomi to finish in the 9 days. You learn a Daf a day, the Masechta finished then. So you can make a seal over there. Okay? Now, what can you be Messiah in order to be able to eat? Either one of the Chof Dalet Sifri HaTanach, a Seder Mishnayis, a Masechta Bavli Yerushalmi, or a Chelik in Shulchan Aruch. Any of those would be considered enough in order to be able to be allowed to make a Siyum. You have to have a basic understanding of what you learned, of course. Okay, if you missed two words here, two words there, Mia Mela. But you can't just take out a Masechta and daven up the Masechta, have no idea what it says, and go, make a Siyum. That doesn't work. Okay? If you make like a Yoyim HaShas, so everybody learned 10 daf here, 10 daf there, can't make a siyum in the 9 days. Even though normally you can make a siyum in the 9 days, that's not considered a siyum. Or you can make a siyum, you just can't serve meat. Because nobody really finished the whole masechta. This guy finished 10 daf, and that guy finished 20 daf, and this guy might have even done 30 daf, but nobody's doing a proper siyum, so you can't do that. Okay? Now, how many people can you invite? You can invite before Shavuot Shechalboy in all these simchas, you can invite as many people as you want to. Anybody who normally belongs to that simcha can come along. Okay? Whereas, after Shavuot Shechalboy, or during Shavuot Shechalboy, then you can only invite all family that normally come along. That's men and women, all family that you normally invite. Plus, another 10 people. A minyan mitzumtzum you're allowed to invite with that. Okay? Even though there'll be a minyan already of other people. You might have 30 cousins that are men. So you already have more than a minyan going on over there. And 30 male cousins nowadays, Baruch Hashem, is not even such a yikar metzius. You can find plenty of people that have that many cousins. Nevertheless, you'd be allowed to invite another 10 men. Beforehand, anybody you want to. But that's going back to the point that I said before about the siyum. You can only invite people that you normally invite. So let's say I'm making a bar mitzvah. So I have a chavra of mine that I'd never invite for a bar mitzvah, but I know he's desperate to eat meat. So I come to him and said, listen, I know you're desperate to eat meat. Come tonight, I'm making a bar mitzvah. Shouldn't come. He doesn't normally come to your bar mitzvah. He's not a guy that normally shows up. So what's he coming to eat meat for? Stam? Because he doesn't want to be misabal Yerushalayim. It's so hard to hold back for another 5 days to eat meat. So that person shouldn't come. The people that you normally invite, they can come. Same with the siyum. If you walk into a restaurant and you make a siyum, 90% of the people in that restaurant you've never met before, and there's a good chance you'll never ever meet them again. So these aren't people that you invited to your simcha. You don't even know who they are. You want to make a siyum at home, you invite if you normally, and again, some even ask the Shaila, if you've been learning Daf HaYomi, and you've never made a siyum on any of the Masechtas Daf HaYomi, and suddenly there's a Masechta Daf HaYomi and it finishes in the 9 days, it's siyum time. What, suddenly it's siyum time? The last Masechta, the Masechta before that, Masechta before that, you never made a party, now suddenly you decide it's Siyum time, it's also not right. Okay? If you normally make a Siyum, and number two, if you normally serve Leishiks, let's say by every Siyum that you make, even you make a Siyum, you have a thing and everybody knows we're coming to your Siyum, it's always going to be salmon. Okay? That's what the Siyum at this person's house always is. So now comes the 9 days, it goes, let's take advantage of the 9 days, let's make it Leishiks. So again, there's a shaila over there whether you should do that. Because if you normally serve salmon at every siyum, why mecha taste now the siyum in the 9 days? You can change around and suddenly serve leishiks. That's not right. You're taking advantage. Again, keep in mind, we're trying over here to get ourselves into the mood. You're trying to feel the churban Yerushalayim and to feel a certain amount of loss over there. We're not trying to get ourselves out of it. As was said sometimes about the shaila of washing and bathing, they asked somebody, I think Rav Shach used to say, nobody ever came to me in a shiva and said, I'm so uncomfortable, I need to have a shower. Somebody comes 2 days into the 9 days, Rebbe, I'm so uncomfortable, I need to have a shower. You have to realize, we are avelus. We are missing something terrible and we have to feel this avelus. And if you don't feel the avelus, then you have to do these things that hopefully they're going to get you to feel the avelus. So hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, if we keep all of these halachas the way you're supposed to keep them, without trying to cut corners and without trying to do things, and again, as I said, this is only the area of meat and wine. There's so many more things that you can speak about. Buying new things, washing yourself, wearing clean clothes, laundering clothes, etc., etc. It's kedai to look into these halachas and to try to feel the avelus. Even a mashu, if we can feel that avelus, the Rebbe Hashem should take our tries, even if we don't feel properly, the fight of, I'd like to feel. Even I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't feel, but I wish I could feel. That's also something. I'm not feeling it, but I'd like to feel it. That's also something. And part of that is keeping the halachas, or mitzvah Hashem, the Banshim should help, that we shouldn't have to keep these halachas anymore. The Banshim should bring us Mashiach Tzidkenu before Shabbos, so we don't have to go through all of this. But if we do have to go through it, it's at least you know, as far as Min and Wine is concerned, where you stand with all of it. I wish everybody a very good day. And mitzvah Hashem, we should see Nechama Tzidkenu v'in Yerushalayim. Amen. Anyone saying Kanish? No, not saying Kanish. Good.
Yeah. When it comes to Erev Pesach, there's a difference, right?
There's some. Yeah. The arm, by the way, but I think my son Chassidim, they're